sometimes when I'm preparing for a message or whatever, you know, I feel like, you know, the Lord gives me something to go with, and then my mind takes it a whole bunch of different ways on like how I should present it and this and that and stuff. And so it's always kind of a struggle, you know, it's like, well, should I go this way? Should I go that way? So I say all that to say, I'll just go with what I think the Lord wants me to start with, or which direction he wants to take it. So anyway, you know, when we think of substitute, at least when I think of substitute, the most familiar time when I think of a substitute was when I was in school. Because, you know, that's the time where, you know, some days you come into class and you have a substitute teacher, you know, someone's filling in for the spot for the teacher for that day, right? And you know, those days are kind of like, as a student, as a kid, you're like, oh, yay, this is going to be like kind of like an easy day, right? Like the person that has authority over the classroom isn't there. So, you know, in your mind, you think you can kind of have some free rein to maybe not act as you normally would. You know, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was kind of troublesome in school and stuff, suspensions and getting expelled and things like that. But, you know, I used to think that, like, how nice it would be to have, like, a substitute student, right? You know, like, you know, I used to think, like, how come I can't have, like, a substitute student? Like, if I didn't feel like, you know, going to school that day, how come someone can't come in my place, like, you know, and, like, act on behalf of me, you know, for my character and my work, you know? You know, so it's kind of interesting. You know, it's just kind of, like, how my mind thinks. But Romans chapter 3, verse 21, the word of God reads, it says, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness." You know, that word propitiation is like our substitute. You know, it's interesting here that Paul is explaining to us how righteousness comes to us. He says that righteousness of God is apart from the law. You know, I'm currently filling out a whole bunch of paperwork for the federal government to apply for a certain job. And they want all this information, right? Like about my past and my legal standing, you know? And so as I'm going through all this paperwork, I have a ton of paperwork about all these crimes I committed and all this stuff. It's like, you know, the legalness of every little thing in these boxes. It's like, you know, it's so overwhelming, if you will. And so, you know, the righteousness of God is apart from the law. It's not apart from the law in the sense that the law is nullified, but it's apart from the law in the sense of the legality of it, right? The principle of the law is still intact. The law is there to kind of like say, like, look at this overwhelmingness of the law. You can't keep it. So God's saying this righteousness is revealed apart from the law. It's being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. What's interesting is that the righteousness of God doesn't come through my faith. It's not my faith that makes me righteous. It's my faith through what Jesus Christ has done. Does that make sense? So, you know, it's really easy for us to think it's all about me. It's like, oh, I believe, so I have righteousness, the righteousness of God. But it's what Jesus Christ did. It's through him that I'm able to have the faith, so that God's righteousness is imparted on me. And it's interesting that word righteousness isn't like the righteousness, the attribute of God. You know, the righteousness, that attribute of God, of right, his righteousness is his judgment, right? But this righteousness that Paul's referring to is the righteousness of our right standing in before God. Amen? And so this is, you know, so Paul's talking about the righteousness of God doesn't come through the law. It actually comes through faith, through what Jesus has done. To all and all who believe, he says, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You know, it's so interesting that as we are brought into this world, we begin on a day-to-day growth, if you will, you know, where we're conditioned in our mind that our merit in things is what makes us who we are. You know, it's like we get put into school and it's like, well, if you are doing well, if you're learning your spelling words, if you're doing all of these things, then you're doing well, right? But then, you know, we're taught that like if you're not, then you're not doing well. You know, so we're kind of conditioned with everything. It's like with our jobs. It's like, you know, your work performance, your merit, how well you do is how you're judged. And so it's interesting that, you know, that Paul's talking about that, you know, that we can't keep the law. And it's only through what Jesus has done, you know, because, you know, we all fall short of God's glory. And then he goes on to saying, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. So redeemed, you know, through our faith, we are redeemed. And what are we redeemed from? We're redeemed from ourselves, right? You know, we're redeemed from the chains that sin, you know, had us bound in. You know, we're set free from that. We've been bought back. You know, when I think about this, like I said, I'm filling out all this paperwork and I'm thinking about like all the times where I stood in front of a judge, you know, and there was never a point where someone's like, well, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and pay for what he did so he doesn't have to go to where he's supposed to go or pay the consequences that he has to pay, right? There was never anything like that. But where it talks about that Jesus, that we are redeemed, that through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus paid a price for us. He paid a ransom for us. And then it goes on to talk about whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith, right? You know, I was talking about that, you know, I used to think about like, I wish they had a substitute student, right? You know, it's like in the world we think about, you know, I wish there was like a substitute, you know, bill payer, you know, someone that can like come in on my behalf, like in my place and just like pay my bills for me, right? Take the sacrifice of my choices, you know, my spending or whatever, and just come in and take care of all that. You know, wouldn't that be great? Doesn't exist, right? Not normally, right? You know, how often, you know, as I kind of mentioned, how great it would have been to, you know, be standing in front of the judge and he says, you're going to prison for, you know, 32 months. Someone's like, okay, here I am. Let me slide in that place for him or her, right? You know, it doesn't exist. You know, in the world, this idea of having a substitute come in and pay for your choices and your consequences and what you've done, it doesn't exist. But the Bible says that Jesus is not of this world. And so in Jesus, we can have the substitutionary, the propitiation for our sins covered. You know, what's interesting is it says, in whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, right? So, you know, Jesus was our substitute, the living sacrifice for what we deserved, our judgment on our sins. Amen. And it was through his blood, giving his life. What's interesting though, I think though, is that when it says whom God set forth, you know, it's interesting. Sometimes we think that, well, because of what Jesus did, like it appeased God's wrath. Well, you know, God like had this, like, it wasn't like that Jesus just came in and then God's like, oh, okay, because my son came in and did this, like I'm cool now. No, like God had this like set out from the beginning. Whom God sent forth, it says, who God set forth as a propitiation. So, you know, God's had this plan all along to rescue you, you know, because he loves you, to pay for your sins and make a way so that you could have a relationship with him. Amen. So this body, this bread that we're about to take represents Christ's body that was broken for us. Let us take and let us eat. You know, Jesus was our substitute. He paid the debt that we deserve to pay. He stood in our place. He was our substitute. He's the one that paid it for us. And it says in the word that, you know, as a propitiation, as a substitute by his blood. His blood was shed for us so that we could that we could be forgiven, that God's righteousness could be imparted on us, that we could be standing before a holy God and be seen as right. Let's take a drink. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your plan of salvation. You know, we were singing this song today about, you know, the greatest love, a grace unknown, that he should die the death that I owed. We definitely owed you, Lord, but you stepped in our place, Lord. You know, your unmerited favor, your grace is what justifies us, and we thank you for that, Lord. Help us to just continue to grow in our sanctification, Lord, just to be bold for your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.